Fred at School Show. Fred at School Show.
Hello, you're listening to Fred Film Radio. I'm Amani Mohammed, the UK's national radio host for Fred at School. This is a fantastic and exciting educational project with the aim of enhancing film literacy among young audiences and is co-funded by Creative Europe and 13 other partners, including the University of Barcelona, where research will be collated from the students of participating schools across 8 different European countries, including the UK, to determine the level of film literacy in Europe. The radio will be used to engage the students over the next few months in discussions over 4 specific European films that have been shortlisted for the Lux Prize. These have been selected by the EU for the film's cultural diversity. However, only one film will be focused on at any given time. So for this first broadcast, we are talking about Belgian immigration drama, Illégal. All the students will watch the film with their respective classmates, discuss it with their teacher, and then they'll create a short radio segment using the medium as a creative tool and as part of their film discussion. If you're keen to find out what the students from all 8 European countries had to say about the film Illégal, don't forget you can tune in to Fred.fm at any time and listen to the podcasts. The Fred at School project aims to be inclusive and accessible to everyone, including those with visual or hearing impairments, so the films have also been audio described and subtitled for this purpose. So, without further ado, let's talk about the film that's actually being discussed by the students across all 8 European countries. It's the shortlisted Belgian Lux Prize film, Illégal. It's directed by Olivier Masset-Dupas, and his critically acclaimed film tells the story of Russian illegal immigrant Tanya, who lives and works in Belgium with her 13-year-old son. She's petrified of being caught, but one fateful day, the inevitable happens, and her son manages to escape the clutches of the law. Tanya is sent to the immigration detention center as we witness her angst about being deported, but more importantly, about being reunited with her son. The film won at the Director's Fortnight at the Cannes Film Festival in 2010 and has subsequently picked up almost another 60 awards from international film festivals. So it's a great place to start the Fred at School project, only on Fred Film Radio.
Fred at School.
So joining me now, I have Nick Walker, the National Coordinator of the Fred at School project, and also joining us is Ian Wall, Education Director of the Film Space. We're going to talk about the film literacy project for Fred at School. So let's start with Fred at School. What do you think about the project, Nick?
Hello there. I think it's a fantastic project, and it really seems to have captured the teachers' imagination of taking part, because I think it enables their students to be engaging with films they've never experience before. And because the films are chosen because of their nomination for the Lux Prize, they deal with really kind of thorny issues. So apart from it being very useful for media and film studies, it also touches on other subjects within the curriculum, such as citizenship, such as that.
Obviously, this is purely about European cinema as well, introducing that into some of the schools. This is a European-wide initiative. What are your thoughts on European cinema in general?
Well, European cinema is such a large subject, really, and there's not one genre. There are obviously as many different types of films as there are countries and filmmakers, so it's an enormous thing. Going back to the Lux element to it, basically the Lux Prize is an annual spotlight on films, if you like, that come very much at the heart of sort of public debate. That's its mandate. And I think what they've done is take cinema, which is obviously a very mass sort of cultural medium, to be given the idea that it's a vehicle for debate and reflection on Europe itself and its different variants. So the films that we're seeing here as one part of European cinema obviously are going to elicit different views on what these are, depending on your country, your age, demographic of the viewer. But they certainly raise very strong social and political issues. And to some degree, and particularly with the first film, Illégal, it illustrates the sort of the diversity of European tradition, traditions, I should say, and shed light on the sort of process in this case of sort of immigration and migration and the abuses of such practices.
Ian, if I can come to you now, Fred at School is a project that we're doing around Europe in partnership with the EU. What are your thoughts on the project itself?
It's an ideal opportunity to allow kind of young people to experience European film. All too often, either the films don't go around the country, so people don't get access to them. All too often, they're shown in cinemas where I think young people feel a bit kind of alienated from, you know, walking in through that foyer and not seeing what they would expect from a multiplex. So you've got two issues there. One is the fact they're subtitled. The other is where, or where they're not, screened. I mean, years ago, probably most people's first experience of a subtitled film would be on television. Well, that experience is very rare these days. So, if you like, the whole Fred at School project is it's a shame it can't go to almost every school in the country. But it is saying, within this context, you're going to watch European films and be prepared to be challenged, but also be prepared to kind of enjoy it, because I think film offers a whole variety of pleasures. It's not just seeing things blow up and chases and all of that sort of stuff.
Indeed. And also, tell us a little bit about the film space. What's the initiative?
Our work is basically focused on teachers, and it's about using film in the curriculum, and I suppose across the curriculum. But what we try to stress is that film is its own specific art form. I think all too often people use film kind of to illustrate something and ignore it as an art form. Repeating that again, trying to get the message across. So we produce a lot of study material. We're just about to launch a training program. We're making available the archive of the now defunct film education, both from interactive discs to television programs that were made over 25 years before film education closed. So our task, if you like, is to engage the teachers. And I think going back to European film, we've also got a major task as well of engaging teachers with European film, because I think quite often some of them might not even have seen any.
Nick, you know, you've worked in education and film education as well. Tell us, what are the challenges that you face working with young people? How do you motivate them?
I think because the context of this is the young people watching the films in the classroom, the first hurdle to overcome is almost the goalkeeper's fear of the penalty for teachers, their fear of subtitles, which is irrational, but... And I think it does echo what Ian was saying, is that sometimes the context of which people watch or are introduced to watch films can to some degree be a little bit alienating and make people feel not quite as comfortable as they might. But that's also true of the genre of the film, not just the space that they watch it in. So traditionally, when I've been involved in screening programmes or festivals and the like, I think it's important to introduce young people kind of slowly and carefully to genres that they might be comfortable with and issues within the film that they are introduced to prior to the screening. So, as Ian mentioned, the resources, it's a kind of a holistic approach rather than just showing kids films without any context. That would be a mistake. So having a resource, or in this case some Fred Radio audio clips, there's some context, some backstory for them to get engaged with that. This particular film, the first film, Illegal, certainly is a really hard-hitting film. There's no two ways about that. It's a Russian woman in Belgium with her 13-year-old son, and they face deportation and all of the things that go along with that, as you can imagine. Perseverance, identification, these are things that whilst the children themselves may not have actually directly faced, I think they can empathise with to some degree. So they're universal themes as well. So I think that's important, to get young people watching things that they can sort of understand, that they're not made hard for them from the get-go.
No, absolutely. I mean, I was speaking to John Still from the Robert Napier School, and he was explaining that the children were a little bit apprehensive about watching, for some of them actually, most of them, it was their first European film.
Both Nick and I have discovered this over the years with events we used to do, like Schools Film Week and our European festival, Sydney School. Providing the teachers got the guts to actually say, right, we think our students should see this film. And I think providing, as Nick says, the film has been very carefully chosen, then we always discovered that talking to the students afterwards, the reaction was, I didn't realise I'd enjoy that, but I actually did. And here's the cruncher. I'd like to see more like that. So it's then trying to create the potential and the possibilities for them to go out there and see a broader range of films. I think that's what all of the European initiatives are attempting to do, is that sense of, and I quote, you know, to inspire and equip people across Europe to go and see films, to, I quote from our document, access, enjoy, understand, create, explore and share film in all of its forms. So it's quite a major challenge, and giving what teachers also have to deal with. I mean, you know, I wonder how and I can understand if it's not high up their list of priorities. It's top of our list of priorities. But it shows the challenge that is there. And particularly in a country where if you talk about film as an art form, if you talk about film culture, you're kind of quite often poo-pooed. I mean, particularly by some government departments. Film is just, you know, it's fun. And that's it. Well, one would like to think that literature is fun, that classical music is fun, that art is fun, or are they something different, and shouldn't they be fun? I don't know. So we've got all these battles going on all of the time.
Nick, would you like to add to that?
I would, actually, yeah. Going back to Robert Napier's school, having gone in there, the two genres, actually, that they were most intrigued with were horror and sci-fi, actually, which didn't surprise me in a way, except the narrow band of understanding of those particular genres extended to about films that were made not more than 5 years ago. So I introduced them to sci-fi films, particularly of the 1950s, and the context of that, which, of course, engaged media and politics and the Cold War context, you know. And so looking at those, their understanding of any particular genre is quite limited. So I don't think European cinema, if we're taking that as a genre in this particular case, is any different. So I think, as Ian said, it's first of all carefully choosing the films, secondly looking at the kind of context of which they're understanding them and viewing them, and allowing them to not fail, but allowing them to dislike a film initially and then grow that. So the first opportunity to watch a film, not everybody's going to love it or understand it, but persevering with that a little bit and then growing that sort of that culture of viewing and understanding, being critical of those films as well. So which is why I like the Fredette School project a lot, because I think it not only does it allow that critique, but it enables them, which is quite an empowering thing, to actually talk on radio to express their views, which of course people are then quite guarded and careful about initially, but then become more expressive as time goes on.
Absolutely. Well, we're just going to hold that thought for a moment. We're going to take a quick break now, but when we come back, I will continue talking to Ian Wall, the Education Director of the Film Space, and also Nick Walker, the National Coordinator of the Fredette School Project here in the UK. You're listening to Fred Film Radio, and we're talking about the Fredette School Project. When we come back, we will be getting the 101 on film literacy from Ian Wall, speaking to the manager of Cine Club UK, Ellie Thompson, on the challenges of film literacy among young people, and also finding out what the students from the Robert Napier School in Kent had to say about the Belgian drama Illégal. Don't go away.
Fredette School Show.
Hello, you're listening to Fred Film Radio. I'm Amani Mohammed, the UK's national radio host for Fred at School, an exciting educational project with the aim of enhancing film literacy among young audiences. My guests today are National Coordinator of the project, Nick Walker, and Education Director of the Film Space, Ian Wall. We've talked a lot about film literacy, but I'd like to almost get a 101 from you to share with our listeners. You know, what is film literacy? What does it involve? What kind of areas? Ian?
I thought I'd get that one first. Okay, what's it about? I mean, effectively, I think film literacy, as with any literacy, its starting point is kind of reading. It is reading a film, reading images, seeing how your understanding of a narrative is put together, seeing how a director is communicating. You're getting into that dialogue almost with a director. Beyond that, I think you're looking at a development of kind of critical faculties, the critical process, the critical practices that you can use, and that ability to kind of communicate what you've understood from a film, what you felt from a film, how you think the director has taken you on that. And it's a word I hate, but that kind of journey through the story. So it's about expanding experiences of a particular text. In our case, in film, it's a filmic text. Developing not just empathy, but curiosity. And as a teacher of kind of film stroke literacy, that is what I feel kind of my job is to go out there and say, right, let's understand this. Now let's apply that to something else. So it's going backwards. It's going sideways. It's looking at film 360 degrees, really.
Yeah, so following on from what Ian was saying, I remember at film education, the three C's, which was somewhat of a maxim for us at the time, the critical, the cultural, and the creative. Now, the cultural, obviously, we're seeing films here, the Fredette School Project, from different cultural perspectives. The critical, critical obviously engages the students in that critical process of understanding the political aspects of the film, the filmmaking processes, and the narrative that's being put over to them. But I think the creative in this case is not making a film, which is some people's perspective of what the creative process is. But here, because the young people are engaging in a radio process, which again is critically being aware of it, but creatively expressing that to a much wider community, public via radio station. So I think it serves all three of those, which is, I think, the crux of this project.
As well as those three C's, there are three P's, which is the kind of, as you were saying a minute ago, processes. And I think practices as well. But the key thing that I think Fred at School does is it's about participation. And it's about participating within a filmic culture, within a media culture, and participating in a group response. And participation is a key thing on all these.
The way that this is structured, they will all get an opportunity to provide themselves, as Ian said, with a confident inquiry about this film, and go on and explore and be inquisitive and challenge themselves, because the films are very challenging. So, and the whole process seems to work on that level for me. It's great.
You actually hit the nail on the head there. You know, that the students that are working on this Fred at School project, they are using radio as well as a creative tool to voice their opinions. And as we know, film is subjective. There's a discussion, and it's a safe environment for them with a teacher that can put it into context as well.
I think quite often that students' critical abilities are even more focused on a film that they don't actually like. I always remember years ago showing a group of students a Godard movie, and it made them so angry. I mean, they hated it. But the quality of the writing that came out of that was superb. I mean, it was all grade A stuff, because actually that film had engaged them, and they thought about it in a way that probably seeing a film that they're normally used to watching would just come, yeah, that was fine, that was good, I enjoyed that and that. As with any kind of teacher or educational project, you're trying to encourage students to explore things and to become kind of confident explorers and just try to expand their horizons. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely, and also it's the cultural aspect as well, the diversity and learning something new, because film, as well as all of the arts, really introduce us to worlds that we may never ever get to see.
The fact that this first film, Illegal, has a young protagonist as well in it, 13 years old. The students that are watching this film are not much older than that. They're 14 to 18 years old. So there's an element of empathising with the child in the film. Irrespective of some of the other issues, it's unlikely that most of these children watching the film have been through any of the things, the awful things that the people in the film have gone through. I'm sure they can empathise with it, or at least understand some of the psychology. But even if they don't, that's the learning process. It's beginning to understand the concepts of these films.
Well, Nick, you and I are going to continue speaking about the Fred at School project here in the UK National Programme. And of course, you know, we will be hearing from the Robert Napier School students as well, and John Still, who's the head of media there at the school. We'll be listening to those comments throughout the show. I'd just like to thank our guest today, Ian Wall, the Education Director of the Film Space. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, and good luck with the project.
Fred at School.
So we've just been talking to Ian Wall, the Education Director at the Film Space UK, who was talking about film literacy there. And I'd like to introduce my next guest, Ellie Thompson, the manager of Cine Club here in the UK. Ellie, you work quite closely with Ian and the Film Space. Tell us a little bit about that. And more importantly, tell us what you think the benefits are of film literacy in education.
We've been lucky enough to collaborate with kind of Ian and the Film Space a few times. And it's really great to work with an organisation that's got such shared kind of goals to ours. We both have a really strong vision about the importance of sustained film-based activity and the vital role that teachers and youth workers play in making that sustainability possible. So both our organisations are kind of incredibly keen to ensure that all young people have access to film in kind of all of its guises. And the best way for us to achieve that really is through collaboration with organisations such as the Film Space. In terms of film literacy, it's incredibly important. I mean, being able to read and understand messages from images in today's kind of increasingly mediatized society is a really key part of being literate now in the 21st century. And I think that's why it needs to be in kind of increasingly included into kind of mainstream education.
In terms of your thoughts about the Fred at School project, four films have been selected from the Lux Prize shortlist, and that's because of the cultural diversity and the language that these films do bring across.
I think it sounds like a really great idea, actually. I think the idea of networking students up from different countries is a brilliant one, really. The chance for students to get different opinions and kind of other people's experiences of the same film is a really helpful tool to building those film literacy skills. Also, the idea of asking the students to all watch the same film and then articulate a response to it via radio is a great idea. And I think it really pushes the students to think beyond just whether or not they like or disliked the film, to try and articulate a more complex response to the film. You know, why did you like it? How did it tell its story? That's really important. So this really pushes them to think beyond that. In terms of teachers, often teachers don't have the confidence to engage with European cinema because it's something that they themselves may not have experience of. So I think this project is a really good starting point for accessing European cinema, because those films have been chosen specifically for the age group in question. So yes, teachers can kind of be aware that the films have been watched and kind of chosen specifically to work with that target age group.
The Robert Napier School is taking part in the project. It's a school that's in Kent. And I caught up with John Still, the head of media there. This is what he had to say about the students that have volunteered, basically, over and above their curriculum studies to take part in the project.
I think the students that are working on the project from our school are quite open to different types of film. Everybody knew what they were going into. I mean, the initial barrier of subtitles was at first something that possibly put a few of them off, but they were very honest about it. And some of them said they were really interested because they'd never watched a subtitled film before. So that was something a bit different as well.
So you heard John Still there from the Robert Napier School, who, of course, we're talking about the students taking part in the project. What do you think about that? And tell us about Cine Club UK.
Yes, I think I can definitely kind of resonate with what John said there about kind of initially meeting dubious kind of ideas from students. You know, access to European cinema isn't brilliant over here in the UK. So, of course, it will be some of his students' first time experiencing subtitles filmed. And I think, yeah, getting the opportunity to see more and more really helps kind of overcome that hurdle. In terms of Cine Club's work, I mean, we are very much about making and watching together. We have a manifesto that encourages collaboration between the young people that we work with. We work on kind of embracing low budget filmmaking technology so that it's accessible to as many people as possible. And central to our manifesto is the kind of the concept of homage, or paying reference to an existing film. So the idea is then that there's a direct link between what they're watching and being inspired by and their practical work. That really kind of rams home to them the idea that just like if they were a dancer or an artist, you know, they would look at other artists or dancers and be inspired by their work and be inspired to develop their own style. And that's what we're trying to encourage.
I mean, that's the key to it, actually, is participation. I'd just like to bring in a comment here from the students at the Robert Napier School on why they decided to come on board and join the Fred at School project.
It would be interesting and different from like watching a Hollywood film, because most of us have never watched a subtitled film before.
It's different. Like, it's not something I would like voluntarily do. Like, I wouldn't just like, oh, I might watch a subtitle film today.
I've never actually spoke about really films with a larger group of people. Like, it's only really my family that I spoke about a film, because like with everybody's different point of views, I kind of think about films a bit differently.
So Ellie, would you find this is the case, that generally young people find it a little bit difficult to try something new or different?
I think it can be intimidating coming across subtitling for the first time, but I mean, that's why Cine Club advocate for introducing European cinema into primary school education, so that students have the chance to develop that skill by seeing lots of films using subtitles. It is a skill that needs to be developed. But I think, like I said, the more exposure you have to doing that, the better you get at it.
Here's a little bit of what the students had to say about watching subtitle films.
I was like, ugh, it's
Ugh. But then I was just like, when I thought about it, I was just like, it like intrigued me because I've never watched a subtitle film before.
At first it put me off because I've watched two subtitle films before and I found it hard to concentrate. But while I was watching it near to the end of it, I kind of found it a bit easier to kind of read it and see what they were doing. But at the start, I found it quite hard to get into.
It is a real skill, watching, listening, reading, and that's all got to be done in a really short period of time in order to follow the film.
That's kind of why it's such a great thing to show young people, because it is developing a wide variety of skills in terms of reading information from the screen. So I think it's a really great opportunity to broaden kind of those cultural horizons, get students thinking about their own identities as well. You know, what does it mean to be European? What does it mean to be a European citizen? How are we working together? You know, I think that's a really important part of what can be learned through engagement with European cinema.
There's lots to talk about, of course. It's a never-ending subject. I'm really grateful Ellie Thompson, the manager of Cine Club UK, was able to come and talk to us today on the Fredet School project. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, you're welcome.
Well, that's all for the moment. Join me and my guests after this short break, only on Fred Film Radio.
Fredet School Show.
Hello, I'm Amani Mohammed and you are still listening to Fred Film Radio. I am the UK national radio host for the Fredet School project. And of course, we are still talking about this fantastic educational project with the aim of enhancing film literacy among young audiences. And the radio, of course, is being used to increase awareness about specifically European films. And the students at selected schools across Europe are using the radio as a creative tool to talk about specific European films shortlisted for the Lux Prize by the European Parliament. The film under discussion this time around is Illégale. The film is about a 39-year-old Russian woman who's an illegal immigrant in Belgium, but she's managed to survive for the last 10 years with her son. The authorities finally managed to catch up with her, and the story's all about that. So I'm really glad that all these schools are talking about the same film across Europe, and really we're here to compare opinions from different cultural backgrounds and see how the interpretation of these films carries on throughout this project as well. And I'm very honoured to announce that we've got John Still joining us here from one of the selected schools. He's the head of media at the Robert Napier School in Gillingham, Kent. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Hi, Marnie. Very well, thank you.
Let's start off with the actual school. Tell us about the school and how old the students are, roughly, who are actually joining in the Fredet School project.
Okay, well, our school is in Medway. It's in LA where there are grammar schools. We're actually a non-selective school. So I was really pleased that we've got a group of Year 10 students who are willing and have volunteered to take part in the project. So they're aged between sort of 14 and 15. They're from a class of about 20, but I gave them the option, and 9 were really keen. None of them have watched a European film before, but they were sort of open to the opportunity and quite excited about it.
That's fantastic. Just out of interest, you know, what were your initial thoughts when we came to you with the Fredet School project?
We're really excited, actually, because as we get to all sort of GCSE Year 10, Year 11, that everything becomes sort of squeezed into the curriculum, and there seem to be less and less opportunities to do something creative or talk about something that's not on the syllabus. And of course, all of this helps them with their understanding of media and the world of film anyway. So I was delighted with it.
How important do you think film literacy is among young students today?
I feel that film literacy has a part to play in a similar way as literacy in reading books, because through watching film and representations of society, I think emotional intelligence is something that's developed in our students. It's up to the students to decide how accurate these representations are, or what's being expressed, or how an idea is being formed through a film. And through discussion, they can kind of learn a lot about themselves, their own relationships, and their own place in the world. So I think it's crucial.
You mentioned a little bit earlier that the students hadn't really engaged in European cinema before. What kind of films do you think they like to watch?
I do know they enjoy horror. Every time we'll sort of go back to horror or things that will shock. I think the students that are working on the project from our school are quite open to different types of film. So they are willing to look at things that are slightly different, along with the fact that students have said, I'm looking forward to this because it will be a new experience and I don't get to watch a variety of films. Because in the area we live in, we've got one Odeon, and the films that are on that Odeon is a very, very small range.
Yeah.
And they tend to get the mainstream Hollywood films, and they're not really exposed to films that are a bit different, or perhaps independent, or foreign language. And in many cases, these students wanted that. So I think they came into this with, you know, a bit of excitement.
So Illegal would have been probably one of their first subtitled films, really, watched at school. What was their first reaction?
Well, it was a bit of a mixed reaction, really. I mean, everybody knew what they were going into. I mean, the initial barrier of subtitles was, at first, something that possibly put a few of them off, but they were very honest about it. Some of them said they expected that it would be boring because it was foreign language. Yes, because it was. And they were quite open about that. And some of them, when they were talking about their expectations, and it's very interesting that as soon as they were kind of engaging in language rhetoric such as foreign language film, they started to say perhaps they thought things would be a bit weird. And some of them thought it might be a bit more emotional because it was a foreign language film. But these were the comments that came out as their initial expectation.
Let's talk about the film Illegal. There's a young boy in this film, a young teenager, really, around the same age as the students, called Ivan in the movie. Could they relate to him, or did they find that language was possibly a bit of a barrier, you know, reading the subtitles as well as trying to feel the emotion of the film?
I think that certainly the youngsters of that age do appreciate a representation of a character their own age and someone that represents them. The barrier was the thought of the subtitles initially and the thought of it being culturally different. And I think that they expected it to be strange and weird is the word that two students have used.
Right.
But I do feel that come the end of it, while having watched the film, the general feeling they gave is that they could identify with the characters, and there was sympathy, and in some cases, for the nature of the students we've got, there was some empathy. You know, there were certainly moments in the room when you can, especially when you've got a small group, you can really feel that tension, and you can feel every kind of muscle and breathing has stopped, and that certainly had an impact on them.
Well, that's fantastic news. It's going to be quite exciting listening to the students' feedback as well. John Still, the head of media at Robert Napier School in Gillingham, Kent, I'd like to thank you for joining us here on Fred Film Radio and talking about Fred at School.
You're welcome. Thanks very much indeed.
Fred at School.
So it's on to my next guest, Nick Walker, the National Coordinator of the UK Fred at School project, who is joining me once again to discuss the students' comments this time around. And we've just been listening to John Still, the head of media at the Robert Napier School. Nick, you've actually worked with the school and the students in the past. And in this particular first broadcast for the project, we are talking about the Belgian immigration drama Illegal. How enthusiastic do you think they're going to be about the project?
I think tremendously. I've worked with this school now probably for about a year teaching film studies. And of course, we've looked at film noir, British cinema, and other genres like sci-fi, horror. And they've been really engaged in the process, is really learning about the parameters of those genres. And so they've been really exposed to a lot of film. However, not so much in terms of European film, and certainly not subtitled film. So I think there's a small amount of trepidation about that factor. But generally, the idea of being involved in this kind of pan-European project and being able to engage in things with other students from around Europe and to put things on radio, they're tremendously excited. I know that.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, they are discussing a very specific film. It's a European film. It's a Belgian film and subtitled in English, of course. The language is French and Russian. And of course, you know, it's something new. It's something different. I'd like to just, before we talk about their reactions to the film Illegal, let's have a listen to one of their comments about the film.
It wasn't weird. It was a different storyline to what we would have found like, in a film in England, but it was still a solid film.
It was really graphic.
Like, when
like when she got hung her, like when she hung herself, it was like, whoa.
I think to understand it on a more emotional level, because you can't really understand the whole film because you're not that language.
I liked the parts. When she's like on the phone to like a kid that is like re-signifying with her son, but then I found it like took quite a while to get used to the subtitles, like because I've never watched anything with subtitles before. It's like a different experience for me.
So, of course, they're the students of the Robert Napier School are talking about their initial reactions to the film, and also their trepidation about watching a film that's subtitled. What do you think about that, Nick?
I think that's absolutely understandable. These young people are seeing something that they've never seen before, and so it's very much an unknown quantity. And I think that the fact they're unsure is one side of it, but they're also suggesting that they're quite intrigued by this as well. So the fact that someone said this is weird, it's just because it's a different culture, and they're having a group experience. And within that group experience, one or more of the students were very excited by that and thought it was fine and the subtitles wasn't a problem. But some of them obviously did feel that that might be hard to concentrate initially, but as the film goes on, they're going to find it easier to get to engage with it, and that's quite an empowering thing for young people, to feel that they're involved with something. And as one student says, it's quite a solid film despite being a subtitled film.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised actually that they, although with trepidation, they watched it, and actually, generally, that sounds like the students kind of got on with the film, and it wasn't as scary as they first thought.
That's quite right. And I think, as you can hear from them discussing about not just the film itself, but the characters in the film, and the issues, actually, for that matter, there's graphic scenes, hanging scene particularly, and are very emotionally impactful. And so they're absolutely engaged in that emotion, on an emotional level. Again, going back to the language factor, of course, that changes the emotions, and there's a sort of difference of meaning and understanding connected to the nuances of any language that they're not sure of. But I think given all that, I think one of the things to bear in mind is that they probably just engaged in the story. It's a great story, and despite the fact that language can be a barrier, it proved not to be ultimately, and they loved the film, obviously.
Yeah. Well, hold that thought on language as a barrier, because when we come back for the next part of the show, we are going to continue to get some reactions from you about the student comments, and also listen to what the students actually had to say from the Robert Napier School here in Kent in the UK. So we'll be right back on Fred Film Radio after this.
Fred at School show.
Hello and welcome to Fred Film Radio. You're still listening to the Fred at School project here in the UK, and I'm still talking to Nick Walker, the national coordinator of the project. So we've been talking to the students from the Robert Napier School here in Kent in the UK, and we're talking about some of their comments and discussing the themes that and their reactions to the film Illégal, which is a film about immigration, about a Russian immigrant with a 13-year-old son who gets caught up in the Belgian legal system and thrown into a detention center. Nick, continuing the theme of language as a barrier, you know, these students were, we've mentioned already that they were a little bit nervous about a film that's not in their language and a culture that perhaps they don't understand. Before we discuss it any further, I'd like to just play in some comments from the students of the Robert Napier School on language and subtitles as a barrier to their understanding some of the themes of the film.
Okay.
I think it was a language barrier, because like if it was in English, like, and they were saying the same words in English, you would have like understood what they were feeling more,
but you
like
get the full emotion.
Stop interrupting me. But because it was in a different language that we've like not spoke before, then we didn't really understand, we didn't really get the emotion that they were putting into it.
I mean, I like that he's really getting into his debate, he's getting into his stride there about the language as a barrier. But you know, it's interesting that they mention the fact that they weren't entirely overwhelmed by the emotion of the film. Do you think that's a question of age? Do you think it really is cultural? Or do you think they had a little bit of difficulty marrying up the visual element, which is watching the film and reading the subtitles all at the same time?
Well, I think in terms of it being a cultural thing, first of all, I think any young person from any country who's experiencing another language for the first time is going to be slightly, it's going to be challenging. The fact that they were seeing emotions which were fairly universal, I think they could relate, as we hear from the relationship between the young boy and the mother, there's certainly a kind of empathy for what was going on. They understood it and could understand the emotions. I think what they're getting at is the kind of the real nuances of that, because language is obviously very nuanced, and if they didn't quite get that, they've only got the subtitling to go on, and if it's not a word which they can exactly relate to, then that there lies the problem. But I think certainly the structure of the film, and I know that Mr. Still and myself have talked to them, even on the level of you know, three act structure and the Todorov structure, so equilibrium, sort of disruption, resolution, as is. They were given all the tools to get this. So sometimes it's very emotionally satisfying. You know, they fully realise the nature of what they're seeing is understood.
Yeah. This is opening a new world to them. You know, this isn't necessarily, you know, films aren't necessarily about things that you've experienced personally yourself. So it's quite interesting to see perhaps how they've interpreted some of the themes of the film, which include, you know, immigration. There is some sort of police brutality in there as well, racism, you know, the separation anxiety between the mother and the son, and all of those kind of emotions. I feel that in spite of the fact they may never have experienced this, this is opening a window to the world, if you like, and offering up a different experience altogether.
To some degree, I think to some degree that's true. The fact that the film partly has not a resolved ending, you know, is it a happy ending? Because they're used to Hollywood cinema, which traditionally offers that. There's a conclusion at the end of the film. The film, yeah. The story is resolved, and often it's a happy one. Whether this film offers that for them, I think, is the challenge here, because it's not always the case. There's clearly trauma in the film. There's clearly an ideal situation to see that the mother is viewing the son working with the mafia and things like that, and she's obviously in a terrible state herself. So, yes, immigration was discussed, and in that way, there's nuances again which could be, I think, quite confusing for a young person. But ultimately, the overarching emotion in the film that the young people are seeing is showing immigration and the treatment of people going through processes, it obviously in a terrible light. And it makes us think about the subject. And so I think if we just concentrate on the denouement and the ending and the complete understanding of that, that would be a mistake, because they obviously are thinking about the subject, the process, the journey, if you like, that the characters go on. And so the narrative itself is quite easily understood for them. It's just the small elements of the specific language that they struggled with, I think.
Sure. I'm going to play in some comments from them, because just talking about the themes, although, you know, it's something that they may not have experienced, they did understand what was going on.
I thought it was quite confusing at parts, because, like, she's just going to get deported, and then she just, like, struggles, and then it's like, oh, you don't have
different
to go.
Laws.
It's like confused me a bit.
It portrayed immigration in a negative light, because it was just trying to show that the immigration officers just want the foreigners out of their country, which is wrong, without really listening to, like, this.
So, you know, we've just heard the students there from the Robert Napier School in Kent, who are, of course, participating in the Fred at School project here in the UK. And it's also taking place across 8 countries across Europe. Everybody's watching the same film. It's a Belgian immigration drama called Illégal. And Nick Walker has been talking to me, who is the national coordinator of the Fred at School project, discussing some of the comments made from the students. But we're going to take a quick break now. now. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the film's ending. You know, did it satisfy them? Were they happy with the ending? And how we move on from there? What are their expectations of the next film that's on the Fred at School project? So I'll be right back just after this.
Fred at School Show.
Welcome back to Fred Film Radio. I'm Amani Mohammed, the national radio host for the UK Fred at School project. I'm still talking to Nick Walker, the national coordinator of the project too, and he's here to share his wisdom and impart some knowledge. Of course, he's met some of these students from the Robert Napier School who we are talking to and getting information from on the Belgian film Illegal. Nick, it's good to have you here still with us. We're going to talk about the finale of the film, if you like. You know, there was a huge debate amongst the students on, is this a happy ending? Was this a good ending? Were they satisfied with the ending? Should it have ended like that? How it should have ended? And we're also going to talk about what they're expecting from the next movie. So just to begin with, I'm just going to play you in some comments from the students.
I didn't really like it because I felt like it was cliche.
Happy ending cliche.
Like every movie I watch has a happy ending. I thought I would like to see something where like the mother loses her son or something, or he dies or something. I don't know. That's a bit supported or anything. That's just not the same as what every other film's doing.
It could have been like a mix-up, like the conflict could have like the real conflict could have come at the end.
You never find out if they actually did leave and live a happy life. You only found out that they were together.
I think that's happy enough.
They're more on the run now than they were at the beginning, because like they're in trouble with the law now as well. Because she's been in there, they know who she is, they know what she looks like.
Maybe they could have expanded like at the end, so we could actually find out what happens.
Yeah. I think to an extent there's a resolution, because they're together at the end, so I think that's enough for us.
Emotionally, that you're kind of satisfied because I have my son back, you're not in prison anymore. But in terms of non-emotionally, not really, because your son's working for a gangster now, and...
Mafia, correction.
And, you got beat up. So that's kind of a trauma you can't really get rid of.
It like leaves us thinking, like it makes us think about what's happening, like almost imagining like what their life would be like after the ending, like because they've left it like that. It makes us just like, what did they do?
It's quite a debate there, you know. The students really, some of them quite like the ending, some of them didn't. I don't think they like the open-endedness of it. What are your thoughts on that, Nick?
I think that's right, and that's sort of what I expected, really. Having chatted to them beforehand, there was a real mixed bag of expectation about the film, and it is an unresolved ending for a lot of people, and I think there is confusion about what will happen to the people and what should happen, and that the fact that it is unresolved and there's no closure means that it's not in the traditional sort of sense of Hollywood cinema, which is mostly what they're used to.
Absolutely.
So if they're giving something here, which is, you know, it's more of a challenge to them, but it's all, which is a good thing. I think they embrace that, but also it's frustrating at the same time. So the films that are used to, obviously with which have a resolution, to some degree means this is quite an interesting project. Just on that alone, irrespective of the language barrier or opportunity. So it's all adding to their experience, which I think is terrific.
Because of their age group, they're coming to a point where they are very conditioned to his point as to the films that you would expect them to see and the films how they would expect the films to end, as you suggested there. And speaking to Ellie Thompson earlier from Cine Club UK, she explained that, you know, these kids they're kind of used to being in their own comfort zone. Sometimes they don't like to be challenged too much, but I have to say hats off to them for getting stuck in, watching the film and really getting into quite heavy debate about it. You know, what did they like, what they didn't like? It just shows that they're engaging already. And this is only the first film in the Fred at School project.
Yeah. And they were prepped about the nature of the film, but without telling them anything about the story, just that, as in that it would be a foreign language movie, and that they would have to talk about it, and that we wanted them to think positively and to be prepared that this was going to challenge them. So I think that, you know, coming in with that, it's not scary, but it opens their minds before they even watch a frame of the film. Then, of course, the fact that the film is both a very good film and it's also filled with trauma and emotional roller coaster in a way, and the fact that the ending is to some degree inconclusive, is all hard for them. And yet I think they rose to the challenge very well, and you can clearly hear in their voices that they've been thinking about this, not only just all the way through, but as their peers are giving their impressions, they're reacting and rising to that as well, and really forcing each other to come up with interesting debate and challenging sort of thought processes, which is, of course, what this project is all about.
And what's interesting, I think, it's also about that group participation. I know that Ian Wall mentioned that when we spoke to him earlier in the show. You know, he spoke about participation, which is key. You know, it's this group discussion. You know, some of the kids mentioned there that they'd never had a group discussion other than with their friends and family about movies. So that's another learning curve, if you like, is being confident, feeling safe enough to be able to express yourself and feel that it's okay not to agree with the person sitting next to you.
Yeah, I think this group are typical of, in one way, of young people watching European cinema because they've been slightly cautious about it. They're used to discussing in a group cinema, and they're used to discussing the issues within a film or looking at the genre. But because they've never seen anything of this kind of type of film before, it was a challenge. And so I think, well, they wanted to all listen very carefully to their colleagues' thoughts and sort of their colleagues' interactions with each other. And they're spurring each on to comment on things. Now, I think, bear in mind that they know that there's four films that they are going to engage with. The fact that this is obviously just the first one, they're going to be really excited about the rest now. And I think their reactions for the remaining three films are actually going to be quite different.
Yes, I think you could be right there. I mean, just on that note, and finally, just to round off this discussion, I'd like to play in another bit of feedback from the students. And this is really with John Still, their teacher, asking them, you know, how do you feel about watching the next movie?
I said, because the first one was really interesting, like emotionally. So I want to see if the next one is...
Like a comedy kind of type of film, I think it would become... Because you don't really need, the language barrier isn't that important, because you don't need a lot of emotion in it. So you can just kind of read the subtitle, which kind of help.
So at least they're kind of already thinking about what they'd like to see. Whether they get to see it is a different matter, isn't it, really?
Well, I think first thing to say there is that you can hear that enthusiasm. They're really looking forward to the second
film. Absolutely, yes.
And the process itself of going through these four films is taking them on a journey that they've not been on, really. The fact is that they're wondering what the other films are going to be about is quite interesting. Is the next one going to be a comedy? Is it going to be another drama? I think it's really important that the fact that they're open to these genres and they're excited by the fact that it's going to be challenging is a great thing. And clearly, they're very just excited by the whole process of being involved and being engaged and being asked their opinion. It's very empowering for these young people. What a terrific experience. It's great.
I wish they had something like this when I was growing up as a kid, I have to say. And it's like you say, the enthusiasm bubbles over into their comments and feedback, and they're clearly excited about the next film. We're not allowed to tell you what the next film is until the students find out. So we all find out together. That's how exciting the project is. It's such a collective experience.
Fred at School.
Well, we've come to the end of the UK National Show discussing the Fred at School project, and we've hopefully left you with plenty of food for thought. I'd like to thank all of my guests. You've just heard from Nick Walker, the National Coordinator of the project, teacher John Still, and the students of the Robert Napier School in Kent, Ian Wall, Education Director of the Film Space, and Ellie Thompsett, Manager of Cine Club UK. Remember, you can tune in to all the guest interviews, hear the student and teacher comments on the film Illégal on the Education Channel on Fred.fm. I'm Amani Mohammed, and you've been listening to Fred Film Radio. Until next time, goodbye.